applause for our great song leaders again. Never want to take it for granted. We're in Romans chapter 12.
Amen.
If you have a Bible, we'll read Romans chapter 12 together. We're getting towards the end of the book. I appreciate what Sam's done the last couple of weeks, dealing with those challenging scriptures between 9, 10, and 11.
Amen.
I think he wishes he had 12 and didn't have to do 9, 10, or 11. But anyway, he does a great job. Thank you, Sam. Let's read Romans 12 together. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Amen.
For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's begin with a word of prayer right now. Dear God, I just want to thank you, Father, for the opportunity just to be here today. Thank you for your fellowship. Thank you for the God that you are. We're humbled, Father, to be in your presence. We're humbled that you called us, Father, out of darkness into light. We're humbled for the fact that you even consider us, knowing just who you are, and even knowing that, Father, I don't think we understand fully who you are. As Moses, you know, as the scriptures teach us that you live in unapproachable light. Father, I just, you know, the fact that you even consider us, what are we that you should consider us? We are but clay in the potter's hand to do as you will. Father, we want to acknowledge that you are that God, and we thank you for the fact that you do love us, the fact that you do care for us, the fact that you want what's best for our lives, that you have great plans for us, not to harm us, Father, but to prosper us in every way. Father, I just... We pray for today. We pray, Lord, I pray for the message that the message speaks true, Father, to us all with regards to the things we just read. Father, we lift up the situation in Ukraine right now.
Yes,
and just really be working there. Work there in the church, Father. Help the church to be a light. Help the Ukrainian brothers and the Russian brothers to realize there's no Russian or Ukrainian. That we're all one in Christ. And I pray they really work towards that unity, Father, and that harmony. Be with Sean and Lena, Father, as they lead there, and the deacons and the leadership there. Help them to be able to govern diligently. Give them the wisdom they need. You know, Solomon prayed for wisdom, and I pray you'll give them the wisdom they need to deal with the situation there. Help them to know what to say. Help them to know how to deal with the situations that arise. We pray for the leadership. We pray for the Russian president, Father, Vladimir Putin. Pray for him. We pray for those generals and those situations on both sides and those in NATO and our world leaders in general, that you give them the wisdom. Give them your spirit, Father, and help them to be calm and not to be proud or conceited as they deal with these. But to really, really help them, Father, to come to the right resolution. Father, we pray for our churches around the world that we can be a light. The scriptures here, Father, talk about being a pattern. I pray, Father, we can be that pattern, Father, to a lost world. Thanks so much for this time, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, this is a great passage of scripture. If your Bible has subtitles, it probably says something like living sacrifices. You know, and as much as it says that, that seems to typify the very beginning of what he talks about here. I like to think Romans 12 is a lot about kind of rules for living. Rules for being a disciple, if you like. I mean, there's so much basic stuff here. Paul goes through, we've read a lot through Romans, and hopefully you understand what's going on with Romans. But he gets to the point, I feel like now he understands that, okay, I've made my point. There's no Jew or Gentile. You know, the law was something of the past. Now let's move on together. And now he comes into Romans 12, and it's like, okay, guys, let me tell you the way it needs to be. So I'm going to kind of divide this up a little bit in sections, because I think what we have here is kind of sections of the way we need to be. My first point this morning as we discuss this is willingly worship. Willingly worship. You know, this is a great passage. You know, he says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And I love this passage, because for me this passage defines what worship is. You know, because when we think of worship, and when people think of worship, they generally think of a worship service. Mm. You know, well, and they focus on a worship service, or what's your worship like? I mean, we've got a great worship service. And I'm not saying that what we do here isn't some form of worship, because obviously it is. But we live in a Christian world, a religious world that wants to make out a worship is all about a Sunday service. Mm. And what we do and how we do it on that Sunday for those 2 or 3 hours is our worship.
Come on, mate.
And you know, here the Bible to me clears that up. Because I think, you know, the worship is not about, this is one part of our lives. Because the Bible says here that really our spiritual worship to God is how we live our lives.
Yep.
How we live our lives. That's what it comes down to. It's not the service. We could come up here, we could have the band, we could have the light show, we could make this phenomenal, we could pump a lot of money in, we could get a flash venue and say, man, come to our worship service. It's the best in the world. And people do it, right? People spend money on buildings, you know, cathedrals, glass, the light show, and it's awesome, and people are drawn in. And I'm sure you come to that and you think, man, that was great. What a great worship service. Now, I believe,
come on, man.
I believe that in the first century, okay,
yeah,
they had no technology. We know that, okay? There was no light show. A band would have been a guy thumping his feet, you know, whatever. You know, I don't know what they did. You know, they had obviously they had instruments. But so you're going to tell me that what were their services like, I wonder? Well, I think they would have been fired up.
Yes.
Would have been intense, but the unity, because what's the worship? What have we got here? It's all about the unity and what we present. You don't need all that to have an awesome service. I know that. I'm a testimony to that, because I've sat here, I've stood here, and I've sang songs and felt totally moved to heart and shed tears. Totally moved.
Yep.
Regardless of where we've met. You know, and I love it, because he really lays it out, that my existence, how I live my life, is what makes the difference. That's what God sees as worshipping him. And isn't it sad? Isn't it sad to think that throughout the world, People think they've got to go to a special place. And yet it's just simply our mindset and how we live is our worship to God. You know, this is something I've been thinking about personally. Matter of fact, something I've been working on and praying about. Because I really want my life to count. And I really want, and as I get older, a little bit older, I want the days. And I'm breaking this down, by the way. I want the days to count. And I want the hours to count. And I want the minutes to count. Because when I come to the end, when I come to my final hour, that's going to be a pretty crucial hour. And when I come to my final minute, that's going to be a pretty crucial minute. So why not see them all the same way now? Because I know that in my life and in my mind, and the way my mind thinks, I can get caught up in a lot of different things, and I just feel like I waste a lot of time.
Yep.
I really do. I feel like I waste, I don't know about you, I feel like I waste a lot of time. You might think, but gee, Mike, I hope you're not, what are you doing at home, mate? Just sitting around doing nothing? No, I'm not. It doesn't mean the fact that I want this to count. If the Bible says that my life is a worship to God, my life, how I live, how I think, what's in my heart, then I want to make that awesome.
Mm.
And if I'm prepared to give all the energy in a service like this, then what about my life in general? Because I tell you now, when I grew up, the thing that put me off church growing up was going to church, people going to a service, and there were one thing at church, one thing at home, one thing at work, one thing here, one thing there, and there was no sense of like, man, this is my life. I never saw anybody who lived their life for God. I didn't. Until I came into contact with disciples. And then I got a glimpse of the way it should be. And they weren't perfect either, obviously, and we're not. But I can tell you now, that totally destroyed my faith in some sense. Because I'd see people somehow worshipping, and then they'd go off, leave church, and there was something totally different. But that was the hypocrisy. Instead of this sense of, man, you know what? I want to willingly worship. So wherever I am, and I hope for you this is the way you are. I hope you're not any different here than you are at home. Or at work, or at uni, or at school. Hopefully you're saying, you know what, my life is a worship to God, and people are going to know that I worship God. Now that doesn't mean I think you need to walk around work or uni saying, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. You know, that's not the point. I'm saying is you're conscious of the fact that you're a disciple.
Yeah.
And you're not trying to be anything different any other place. And you're true to that. And that's why my point is simply willingly worship.
Mm.
So I think when Paul talks about this, he's talking about, man, offer your bodies as living sacrifice. We need to willingly worship God. It's not a forced thing. I don't want to come here and put on this smiley face. I don't want to come here and think, gee, Mike, you're really fired up. You're really da-da-da. You're this, you're that. I see how happy you are. You need to know this is the way I am everywhere.
Yep.
Because I see my life as a worship to God.
Mm.
And so when I'm reaching out to people, that's a worship to God.
Mm.
You know, when I'm trying to be friendly to people, that's a worship to God.
Amen.
When I'm not thinking about myself, and I'm thinking about others, that's a worship to God.
Amen.
And so that's the way I want to live my life. And I believe doing that, because I want the other thing I'm working on with this whole thing about worship to God in my life is, I want to be in God's peace all the time. Every morning when I wake up, I go into my back room, and one of the first things I utter to God is, good morning, God, something like that. And then I say, God, help me to have a pure heart and a clear mind. A pure heart and a clear mind. Seriously, every day, God, a pure heart and a clear mind. Because I want a pure heart. And I want a clear mind to serve God. Because I can't do that. I can't willingly worship God without a pure heart and a clear mind. Because my mind is like a flat rubbish tip. I'm telling you. All the junk, all the muck, all that's like everyone, it's like everything, but just, oh, anyway. That's why I pray those things. Let's move on. Point number two. So he says in verse two, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. My second point, just here quickly, is pattern for the world or fashioned by the world. Pattern for the world or fashioned by the world. You know, the question I have for you this morning is, who's changing who? You know, Paul says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. And that Greek word for pattern can also mean fashioned. That we're fashioned by the world. You know, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Let's turn there for a second. 1 John 2, 15. In verse 15 he says, I can't tell if you're there because some of you are just touching pads. If Carlos Acevedo I was going to say, stick with this. If the Lord so wills, I'll always get up with a Bible and handwritten notes. Not that I'm against people that type. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. You know, patterned for the world or fashioned by the world? You know, how does the world want to fashion us? Well, what's the pattern of the world in that sense as well? You could say, what's the pattern of the world? Because he says, don't conform to the pattern of the world. Well, what is that pattern of the world? You know, I think the pattern of the world is self. The pattern of the world, it's all about me. You know, we know the song, What About Me? It should be really, not what about me, it should be all about me. And go from there. Because that's the pattern of the world. Regardless, the pattern of the world is all about me. That's what we grew up with. What's best for me? Happiness is everything. And yet today, I think as disciples, I'd like to think we agree that love and faith are everything. You know, the pattern of this world is not to commit. Mm. The world doesn't want to commit. People don't want to commit. You know, why don't people get married at times? You know, why they want to? Because they don't want to commit. And why do they get divorced? Because they don't want to commit to dealing with the issues in their lives. And so it's easier to walk away. The world does not want to commit. We are taught not to commit. Saying that though, there was a generation, my parents' generation for sure, they were taught to commit. And I'll give them that. They were taught to commit in the sense of like, no, you don't get divorced. Now some still did, but there was that sense of, you know, you stay faithful. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that my parents have had a hard time in their marriage at times, and they have. I shouldn't say too much more about that. But they've committed. They're not going anywhere. No matter how hard it gets, they're committed to each other. Because they were kind of taught that's what you do. That's a good thing. That's a great thing. Unfortunately, our society now is not that like that. And our kids don't see that as an example. And so that's the pattern. The pattern of the, you know, the pattern of the world is drinking. It's image. It's the sex thing. I mean, we do live in a kind of sex crazed society. You have to admit that nothing's changed, but it's just it is. It, everything's flaunted. You know, I'll go to the shop and I'll pick up a car magazine. I want to look at cars, and there's some girl in a bikini strolled over the bonnet. I don't care about the girl in the. I just want to see the car. Okay. Why do I have to look at a girl in a bikini? You know what's better? It's all about that.
Come on, mate.
And we're confronted with that all the time. That's the pattern of this world. You know, the pressure to conform is the pattern of this world. You know, if you don't conform, you think anything different, well, then you're an outcast. That's the pattern of this world. And as disciples, we need to make sure that we set the pattern for the world and aren't fashioned by the world.
Come on, brother.
You've got to ask yourself that question, you know, who's changing who? Who has the greater influence on you? Who has the greater influence on you? Does the world or does Christ? Yeah. Because we're going to be fashioned, we're meant to be fashioned by Christ. Now I think about our young teens over here. It's a minefield. It's a minefield for the teens. And I would say the teens, resist the temptation, because the world's going to come after you. I remember having Jared and Brandon. I remember the things they told us at high school. The things. I remember Brandon getting phone calls at night. Hey, mate, come down to the bowling club. These guys were underage, but they were in clubs drinking. They were getting in. Come down. It was like 11 o'clock. Come down. In the end, Friday nights, Brandon at that time, this was after Teen Devo, okay? He would turn his phone off because he knew he was going to get a phone call. And he'd say, no, I don't want to come. And he stood firm, but it came knocking. The things kids put on their phones, they try and show each other. It's a minefield. And I would say to the teens, stand firm. Because the world is trying to fashion you. To think you're strange if you don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Think you're strange if you haven't had sex yet. To think you're strange if you don't go to parties. To think you're strange if you don't drink. To think you're strange if you don't try life. That's the pattern of the world. And that's the world trying to fashion. And it's going to come with a vengeance, especially at high school. And I would say to the teens, and I would say to the parents, just be mindful of that. We stood firm with our kids. We said, no mixed parties. And we had a battle. We said, no. And they said, why can't I? No. And I remember a conversation I had. I said, how come you guys don't ask anymore to go to parties? And they said, because we know the answer. You know, and I'll be honest with you. When I look back at that period, I don't know how we got through. Is Brandon in here? Oh, yeah. He's ducking down. He's ducking for cover. No, but they were awesome. Super proud of my kids. I was praying about my children this morning. I said, God, thank you for my sons. I love my boys. And I love the great example that they are.
Amen.
And seriously, I don't know how we did it. It was some challenging times there with both of them at times. But, you know, amen. But, you know, that's the world. You know, we need to understand that we become the pattern of the world. And as I said to you before, you know, who's got more influence on you? Look at your life. Look at what you do. Look at how you act. Are you a pattern for the world, or are you fashioned by the world? You know, we need to be fashioned by Christ, not culture. You know, one thing I love about our church is there are many nationalities. And I love it. I love it. I love we've got more Chinese in the church. Go the Chinese. Can I get a hooray for the Chinese? I hate the fact that we've only still got one Maltese in the church, but that's another story. Need to convert some more Maltese. But love the fact that we've got the Europeans, we've got the Americans, we've got the Australians. You know, we're a multicultural church, which is awesome.
Amen.
We're going to make sure that it's not our culture we're pushing.
That's right.
We're going to make sure the culture we're always trying to develop in the church, the pattern is the pattern of Christ.
Amen.
And I hope, and I don't believe there's any racism in the church. I'm sure there's not. But we don't need to look around and think, oh man, look, there's more of this, or there's more of that, or there's more of this, or there's more of that. It doesn't matter.
That's right.
Because God doesn't see us as Chinese, or this, or that, or Americans, or Australians. He sees us as one in Christ.
Amen.
Come on.
And the world needs to see that.
Come on, Mike.
Yeah.
And that's our pattern. And so they see us embracing each other, the different cultures. And that makes all the difference.
Amen.
It makes all the difference. And so our pattern needs to be one of love and of faith and of joy. Our pattern needs to be one where we say, you know what, we believe that God is sovereign above all. And that's what makes the difference. That we transcend all boundaries. That we can make this work because of Christ, because that's the pattern of Christ. And I ask you that. I want to ask you that question. You know, what are we like? What are we bringing here to our fellowship? What pattern are we bringing? What pattern are we forming? I want to think we're bringing a pattern of joy that when we sing with our hearts. I want to believe we bring a pattern of commitment. Not because we have to, because we willingly want to worship God.
Amen.
Yeah. We willingly want to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. And when we come here, that's exactly what we do. And that's why we're out of ourselves. That's why we break the barriers. That's why we turn our weaknesses into strengths. I'm not the person I was. I may have been shy, I'm no longer shy. I may have been timid, I'm no longer timid. I may have been afraid, I'm no longer afraid. I may have been proud, I'm no longer proud. I may have had reservations, I'm putting my reservations aside. I may have had doubts, I'm putting those aside. I may have been cynical and critical. I'm putting those aside. Because I don't want anything to hinder me from worshiping God. Because those things I talked about, that's the world fashioning you to be that way. And as we draw to the end, if we look, when we come to that last section of Scripture, from 9 all the way down to 21, that last section of Scripture is all about the opposite of everything that you would naturally do. Everything there is the opposite. Everything there is what the world does. And he says we need to do something different. Mm. Let's move on just quickly though, before we get to the end.
Come on.
So he says here that by the grace of God given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. And then he goes on and talks about the church and the unity in the church and that we have different gifts. But you know, this whole idea of sober judgment, my third point here quickly is the cup of humility. The cup of humility. Because you know, when I think about sober judgment, ask yourself this. How often do you think of yourself with sober judgment? Because I can tell you now, for me in my life, I'm a proud person. And you know, it's kind of funny. Gordon Ferguson preached this lesson at the conference on humility. And he cried. It was one of the most moving lessons I've ever heard. And if you can get it from the delegates meeting, I have no idea if this delegate stuff is up on the website. Is anybody, Sam, have you sent any of that stuff up? None of those. Anyway, it was a great lesson. But he talked about being humility. And he said, you know, but Gordon, you're really vulnerable. Someone went up to him and said, but Gordon, you know, you're a very vulnerable man. He said, you know what? He said, the reason I'm vulnerable is because I know how proud I am. And he said, if I'm not vulnerable with my life, I'll get super proud. And I thought about that, because it resonated to me, because I thought, yeah, I'm kind of open to be open. But deep down, I'm a very proud man.
Yeah.
And deep down, I think of myself pretty highly. You know, if you want to know, do I think I'm a better driver than all of you? Absolutely. And even though it's probably true. Shelley girl, what are you thinking? As an example, but I think we do that. I think we've got our little gifts, right? We've got. I was only joking about the driving thing, by the way. Well, maybe not really. But you know, we've got our things, but do we see ourselves? Because I think this is so important for our fellowship. Because when he goes on and talks about the gifts and everything that we need to be, you know, this whole idea about using what we have, that we all play a part, one body, many members. The key to that is the sober judgment. The key to that is understanding that we all play a part. And regardless of what it is, neither one is more important than the other.
Yeah.
And I don't want you to think that, okay, God's given me a position here to be where I am. But that doesn't mean I'm any more important than you. I just serve in a different way.
Yeah.
And I do something different. I absolutely believe with all my heart that what the song leaders do, what the ushers do, what anyone who does on sound, what Kids Kingdom people do, all of us, you being here is just as important as me showing up.
Yeah.
I know you might think it's more important for me to show up because we're going to preach. That would be a massive misconception.
Come on, mate.
To think that or to believe that. And it comes with sober judgment. It comes with understanding is, I'm nothing. I'm nothing in the scheme of things. I'm only here by the grace of God. You know, David says, I go to sleep and I wake up because the Lord sustains me. That's how simple it was for David. You ever got up and prayed that? God, thank you. I go to sleep and I wake up because, Lord, you sustain me. Because one word from the Lord and you would not wake up.
Yep.
Simple as that. God said, okay, June, that's it. No matter when, what time, that's it. Two sparrows are sold for a penny, and one does not fall to the ground without the will of the Father.
Right.
You think about that. And I've heard many interpretations about that, but I read it as it sounds. Nothing happens without God's will. And you can think, oh man, but that poses so many questions. It doesn't matter. Forget that. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. But do we have that soberness about our lives? Do we have that humility? David says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in your house than be at home, to be in the tents of the wicked. Just, man, just make me a doorkeeper. Sober judgment. We all have our part to play, church. Showing up midweek. I wish we'd all come to midweek. I've got to tell you, I wish we'd all come to midweek. I don't know why. I don't know what happens. I know there are times we can't, but just in general, I wish our attitude was, man, you know what? I'm part of this. And I can't help but feel that the attitude that stops people from coming is related to pride. I don't need to. I don't have to. Because I think if we had that soberness, we'd say, I need to. I want to. You know what I mean? I need it. I'm telling you, I need you guys. I need God's church in my life. I can't survive. I need the Word. I need to get up every morning and pray to God, God, give me a pure heart and a clear mind. I need that every morning. Like I need my Weet-Bix. My two Weet-Bix with a bit of banana and psyllium husk. There you go. You've got some privacy into my life. I've led you into my breakfast. Weet-Bix, psyllium husk, and a bit of banana. But I need that. I need the church. I need you. And I wish we'd all see it that way. I wish we'd all have that soberness. There's some pretty powerful scriptures here. Some pretty powerful scriptures. And the last bit, the last point. Love, love, love. Let's finish off here. Love, love, love. I'm not going to say much more. Let's read together, because as we read 9 through 21 again, I want you to think about the fact that everything he says here is the opposite of what you would normally do. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. That's the opposite to the world. The world doesn't cling to what is good. The world gravitates to evil. You did. I did. That's why we became disciples. Right?
Yep.
Amen. That's why we became disciples. Because we were tired. We saw the darkness. We saw what we were clinging to. And we thought, man, we saw Christ. We saw the light. We said, man, I want to cling to something that's good. Amen. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Lift each other up. We're not good at this, church. We've got some strength, but there needs to be more lifting up.
Yep.
I need to go to Tim Lumsden and try and pick him up. Not physically, but it's too easy to be negative. It's too easy to see the negative.
Yep.
It's too easy to see the faults. That's by nature what we are. We have to acknowledge that. That's why he says, honor one another, lift each other up. Don't be competitive.
Rich.
It's not about who's best at this, or who's better at this, or who's good at that. Doesn't matter. We've all got our part to play. We're here. We're awesome in God's sight. And we need to tell each other that. And not be so competitive. That's the pride. That's the lack of sober judgment.
Yeah.
Always comparing. Always comparing. You know, never be lacking in zeal. The Greek word for zeal, zoe. Not zoe. Zeal. Oh, I can't remember now. Greek words. I wish they spoke English. Anyway. But the Greek word means fire. It literally means fire. So be on fire. You know, burn. Ignite. You know, that's what we need, right? And we all need to be that. That's a charge for every one of you. A charge for Dylan Panacharel.
Come on.
Fire. You can stand up if you want, Dylan. You don't have to. But never be lacking fire. Zeal. And I love it when people are like that. I love it when I see people that are excited. I love our song leaders are excited. I love when Peter Borman, he comes up to you and gives you a big hug and he's excited to see you and generally gives you a warmth and he's excited. We need to all be that way. That's not reserved for just the WOGs. Not that Peter's a WOG.
Come on, Mike.
I know someone said, what's a WOG? Which is a nice term now. It's not a bad term anymore. But you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? It's not just for those people that are kind of outwardly that way and give each other kisses. That's all of us. That's Geordie. That's Alex. That's Ryan. Why am I picking out all the teens? That's Mariah. That's Rachel. Who else?
Oops.
I'm going to pick on more. I could name them all. We never lack zeal. And then he says, be joyful in hope. Again, most people aren't. Patient in affliction. Definitely not. When we're sick, we're not patient. When things aren't going well, we're afflicted. We're not patient. Faithful in prayer. We're faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Amen. We're going to do that. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. That's the opposite to what we do, I think. Bless those who persecute you? I think we're out of a crack back. I think we bless people who persecute us. I think if someone has a go at us, and generally, you know what? The most amazing thing about this verse, most of the persecution we face is within. That's the weirdest thing about that verse. As far as we're concerned, most of the persecution, most of the hard time, most of the angst you'll have is from somebody in the church. Somebody did something to you. Someone said something the wrong way. Someone forgot your birthday. I don't know, didn't invite you to something. Happens all the time. Oh, I didn't get the invite. Oh, what happened? Pamela had a birthday party the other day. I didn't get an invite. What?
Oh, really?
Oh. I'm Uncle Mike. How can I not get up? I'm the only decent uncle she has. I've treated her like my daughter. How can I not get an invite to a birthday? That's atrocious. I'm just kidding. I'm only kidding. But we get that way. And we feel kind of persecuted. We shouldn't even be bothered with this stuff.
Yeah.
Brandon was funny the other day. I've got to share this. I'm running out of time. I've gone over time, but I've got to share this. Brandon was funny the other day. We were talking about his birthday. I said, Brandon, you've got to be back for your birthday. He said, what? That's a pagan festival. And he did. He said, that's a pagan festival, Dad. I went, okay, great. Well, we won't do anything for you. We won't buy you anything, Dad. Don't you dare get upset when nothing comes your way. We don't even say happy birthday to you then, if that's the case. Pagan festival. Do you teens think your birthdays are pagan festivals? Okay, Molly said she doesn't know what a pagan festival is. Ben, teach it what a pagan festival is, okay? What'd you say?
It's a birthday.
My birthday today! What? That's crazy. Come here, dear. We'll sing happy birthday to you.
Come on.
Hurry up. Come on. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Ooh. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Molly. Happy birthday to you. Pip,
hey!
See, Brandon, we don't think it's a pagan festival. Anyway, I'm pretty much done here on that note. But if you read this, everything it says is the opposite. You know, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Be willing to associate with people of low position. Man, this stuff has got to start hitting the heart a bit here. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, and I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to, at this point, the kids, one of the kids' kingdom class is going to sing.